Okay, so we're going to do the piece today on Bakashot HaPratiyot, which is the personal requests, I guess that's the best way to translate it, personal requests in davening, or the detailed requests. Before we do the piece, though, I want to just bring a source to something we spoke about two shiurim ago, I believe it was, when we spoke about the difference between the Bavli and Yerushalmi regarding the Hasidim or Yerushalmi who would spend Shah Achas davening. Right, they spent actually an hour preparing, an hour davening, and an hour winding down. So three tefillos a day times 3 hours, that's 9 hours. That's a considerable chunk of time being spent in davening. So the Gemara asks, when did they have time for their learning? How did they know anything in Torah? So the Gemara Bavli, we said, says that that because of their tefillah, so their Torah was mishtameres, was guarded. Okay? Now, the Yerushalmi, though, says that bracha was put into their Torah. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe explained that it's two separate things. Their Torah might have been guarded, great, but how did they learn in the first place? You know, you can guard what you learned, but they didn't really have time to so much time for learning, so where did they get the Torah from? And that, he explains, the Yerushalmi is giving the key to that and saying that they had bracha placed in their learnings, that they were able to accomplish a tremendous amount within the limited time that was left for learning, and they were able to accomplish so much that nothing was lost. You know, whatever the time they would have put into learning, it was given to them at a very, very, you know, very fast, fast way, so to say. No, so according to Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's Mahalach, it's not a machlekes. So my son actually tonight brought to my attention the Rav Kook in Eretz HaTorah says a different Mahalach, and he says it's a Parakid Gimel in Eretz HaTorah, more commonly known as Orot HaTorah. He says like this in the first Perek Yud Gimel in Seif Aleph. He says, "Keshelomdim." You know what? Before I do this, I'm going to just say I wrote on the side of my page in this that it's really based on a shla in Maseches Pesachim, which I probably have quoted in the past. The shla says over there that there was a very big difference between, actually we might have quoted it recently even, between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, that in Eretz Yisrael, let's start with Bavel. In Bavel, they had to spend a lot of time in rigorous back and forth, question answer, to figure things out, and that was because they're in Chutz Laaretz, and that's the place of the Klipos, and Darizel explains that the whole Shaklavataya, the whole, right, is in order to break open like the shells on the outside until you get to the pre-inside, to the fruit inside. So that you have to do in Chutz Laaretz, where there's a lot of Klipos. But in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why Bavli has a much longer Shaklavataya than Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi, it's like quick and simple, relatively speaking. The language we're not used to as much, but that because it's a different dialect of Aramaic, a little bit of, yeah, but and a different, slightly different style of writing. But as far as the Mahalach HaDvarim, the process of the Yerushalmi, it's very short, quick, and simple. So the Shlach explains that in Eretz Yisrael, their Iker Esek was inside the Satera. Their main Esek was in learning Kabbalah, was in Seydus HaTorah, and through their connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and their Seydus, and through this learning of Seydus HaTorah, they were given, like almost, I wouldn't say, like osmosis, but you know, close to, they just were given everything else with it. So it became much easier. They didn't have to go through the whole rigorous Shaklavataya that in Bavel they had to go through. That's the background for this piece. With that piece of the Shla, we'll be able to understand Rav Kook. Keshalom dim harbe nistar. I'm reading from Rav Kook now. When one learns a lot of nistar, Okay, as kol ma, meaning a lot of Kabbalah, a lot of the hidden parts of the Torah. As kol ma shemevinim velomdim me'anigle me'ir ba'or yikarot. So then, whatever you understand and learn from the revealed parts of the Torah illuminates light with a tremendously beautiful light, a tremendous light. Umitgale hofa'at anistar usgulata al kol ha'inyanim ha'musagim shabanigle. And then the appearance of Nistar, meaning, which really means the attaining and understanding it, okay, because it comes more in a form of hofa'ah, which is like almost like Ruach HaKodesh, like in a, it becomes revealed, and at school it becomes revealed on all the inyanim that one learns about and understands in Nigla. So he says, Vizoi Shitat, I'm sorry, he said, what he's saying is that the Nistar and its skula becomes revealed, it appears and becomes revealed on all the inyanim that one can get in Nigla, meaning you're going to chop things in Nigla as well. It's such a powerful light, it's going to light up those inyanim as well, the Nigla Dikla, the revealed inyanim as well. Vezoi shitata Yerushalmi. So Rav Kook really does make it into like two different mahalchim, the Mahalach of the Bavli and the Mahalach of the Yerushalmi. We'll see in a second. Zoi shitata Yerushalmi, shemitoch shechasidim ayu toratam, mitoch shechasidim ayu, because they were chasidim, toratam mitbarechet. Their Torah was blessed. Velo rak divrei ha-Bavli shetoratam mishtameret. Not only like the Bavli, that their Torah was safeguarded. It seems that the Yerushalmi is dealing with chasidim that are on or higher level chasidim. Shatorah mitgadelet umitaderet etzlam al yedei ofa'at hasagot ha-kodesh mima'at ha-kamut l'nechalim gdolim ve'itanim. That the Torah becomes great and mighty by them through the appearance of hasagas. This is or more spiritual attainments. Through their hasagas ha-kodesh. So what happens then is, it becomes great and mighty, mima'atakamut, from little quantity, lenechalim gedolim veitanim, to great and tremendous nechalim, streams, you know. Umesigim orah shel Torah gam al yedei ha'tefila v'hitbonenut sheba, and they would attain the light of Torah, even through the davening, and the hesbaininess in davening. Veshekodem veshacharla, and of before and after, because they were preparing themselves before and after. Shehem hem gufei Torah v'nishmata shel Torah, that they themselves are the gufei Torah, the words of davening, the inyanim of davening, the zboininess and what's going on in davening, itself is gufei Torah. Okay, and that's he goes a little bit further, but that's enough for us. So you see here, there's like a different mahalach a little bit.
How does he explain Bavli?
So the Bavli, they just had the Shemirah. The Bavli is they had to do their work. They had to do their footwork. Technically, yeah, what's the time? Well, a lot of time, he would have to explain that a lot of the time that's spent in learning is Chazara. Right? If the Gemara tells you have to, 101 times is 100 times is nothing compared to 101 times. So much of their time was spent in reviewing. You have to remember they didn't have texts in front of them. They had to learn it by heart. So the bracha of Mishtameret was, they probably spent much more time, which is interesting, right? They certainly were ma'ayin in the Gemara, right? They certainly were ma'ayin, but they had to work things out, and then they had to then review a lot. So the review time, at least, was saved, that their Torah was guarded without them needing to probably apply themselves too much in the review, or, I don't know, maybe they had speed reviews. Sometimes there was a video, I think it was Rav Yashav, a video of Rav Yashav Chazar and Gemara, and it's literally, he has a sefer, and it's like he's putting his finger down, and you see him going like that. On the other hand, you have recordings of him where he's like, reviewing the words over and over, and just like with a real geschmack. So you need both. But clearly, Gedolei Torah that knew, Rav Kook himself, in Volozhin, was reported to learn 60 daf a day be'iyun. 60 daf a day be'iyun. We can't even read 60 daf, in a day. It's just so tzaddikim with great minds can accomplish an amazing, amazing amount. Rav Tzuriel, Rav Moshe Tzuriel, for anyone that has heard of him, he was a mashgiach in Shalavim for many years, and now I don't know where he is in other yeshivas. But he makes a calculation. He took all the writings of Rav Kook that are published for him and the pages of manuscripts, what he knew about, and he calculated. He said, listen, Rav Kook lived for 70 years. He was a Rav, and he was Rosh Hashiva. He was Rav Rashi. Right? He had tremendous, nobody had as much communal responsibilities and involvement as he did. No one in the world had the amount of communal, I mean, maybe Reb Chaim Moser, actually. Reb Chaim Moser, Chafetz Chaim, yeah. But, you know, certainly he had very limited time. He was a Rav at a very young age already. So if you take all that into calculation, he said, like, where did he have time to actually write, just physically write all this material? He comes out, his maskana, you know, I find it a little bit amusing, I guess, but I'm just pointing out the volumes of work, of the writings, you know, but the Yisoid is true, what we're talking about over here, of the Mizbareches, okay, the Mizbareches, that there's a blessing. He says it must have been Hashbas HaKulmas. Hashbas HaKulmas is like, there's a way to, you know, make certain malochim, to make them like be mashbia them, like with a shvua, that they'll give you like the, you know, with a supernatural capability of writing that is not naturally possible. Maybe it falls into that category. Not sure if I would put it, but maybe. It's not so mistaber that Rav Kook did such a thing. That's certainly not. But he means it was something certainly supernatural to be able to do so much and to do. You know, it wasn't like he was a Bekiyas person. His mind was tremendously intense and a tremendous Mayan, like, in every single aspect of the Torah and also of secular knowledge. So, anyway, but let's not go that far. Let's go to something that is closer to us. I think maybe I said this last week or 2 weeks ago, Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. Is that how I quoted him? From the Mir Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva of Mir America. And he said, you just take a pashut calculation of a regular standard avrech, you take a 40-something year old. There are many, many Talmidei Chachamim in their 40s who are mamish, you know, they have a tremendous handle on Shas. They know Shas, and you have 50s, whatever, that they know all Rishonim and Poskim. Like, he said, it's impossible. Time-wise, it's impossible. How did that happen? There's so much, and it takes such work that you have to apply yourself. He says it's pashut that there's a siyata d'shmaya, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is helping people that are learning and applying themselves. So this is something which I always find very important to stress, because we get very stressed out by the idea of like, well, I'm not going to accomplish, I'm so limited, and people kind of fall, especially Bachrim and young Avrechim, they're just like, forget it, it's over, I don't stand a chance. I read about these Gedolim and these and this and this and that, and I see people, where can I, and it's not true. It's not true if we understand that the Nosein HaTorah is the one that gives the Torah, and that it's not just amount. We're not at all limited by what's within the physical capacity of the person to normally do, not time wise, not with capabilities, none of that. There's a Siyata D'Shmaya, and that Siyata D'Shmaya is very, very much, completely actually built on our Yerushalayim and connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, which obviously is mostly emphasized and built on Tefillah. Very connected to tefillah. So, okay. Let's start by Kashas HaPratias. You say that tefillah, Eino mipnei she'anu zkukim l'mah she'nemar bo. The yisoid of tefillah is not because we need what is said in the tefillah. Ela mipnei she'emes kachi, but because it's the truth. Shehu chaynein ladom das, that Hashem grants man knowledge. Roitze b'tshuva, he wants the tshuva of a person, and accepts the tshuva of a person. Marbil islach, he gives out forgiveness, right? He he accepts apologies, so to say, he forgives very much, many, many people. Goel Yisro, he redeems the Jewish people. Reifei Chaylim, he heals the ill, the sick. Mavarech Hashonim, he blesses the years with Parnasa. Mekabetz Nidchei Amo Yisrael. Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Shoyver Oyvim Mechni Azedim. Just gonna, you know. Mish'on O'Mivtach LeTzadikim. Boinei Yerushalayim. Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. Shomei HaTfila. He goes through the whole list of the Bakoshas. Protios Be'etzim that we say in davening. Okay, because the davening is built off, as we all know, three brachas at the beginning, which are of avos, you know, it's more like praise of Hashem. Three brachas at the end, which are thanking Hashem, and then you have the 12, which became 13 brachas in the middle. So he just listed those 13.
Mm-hmm. Pratyos means request. It's not so much a personal request.
Yeah, so that's why I said, like, over here it's detailed request in this specific. Normally it's personal request, but over here he seems to be referring to just the fact that we detail our request. Yeah. Mipnesha emes kachi. Because that's the truth. Because that's the truth. Because that is the truth that Hashem has all these things. Rotzim anu b'afakat emetzu. We want that this truth should come out. We want to express this truth. Et atzmenu anu mesalkim litzadim. Our personal selves, we move to the side. V'achet emet anu mevatim v'la modim u'miachlim. It's the truth we're concerned about. The truth that we are expressing and we are admitting to and we are praising Him for. The truth of the matter. Vilimrot shelo yafe meitanu levakesh mimarom ba'ad kol pyutei tzorchenu. And despite the fact that it's not really nice of us to request from above for all the specifics of our needs, v'yafe yoter haya lismoch alav yisborch shmo sheyaseh kirtzono. It would be nicer if we just rely on Hashem that He'll do as He sees fit. Like, what are you doubting His expertise in running the world? He knows what He's doing. So why don't we just rely on Hashem? It's like almost like a chutzpah that you could have into Hashem. Whatever Hashem does is great. You're sick? Because that's what it has to be. You don't have parnasa? Because right now that's what it has to be. Like, what are we doing trying to change the situation? So he says, Limrotze, despite that, Hinenu marubim betfila ubetchina kol pratu pratu pirtei protios. We give much in davening and in supplication on every detail and details of details. I guess over here he's also would be including the bakashas pratius of a person, the personal request that a person adds in davening. So we give much, right? We spend much of tefila on the details, kedei legalot, in order to reveal, shashkachoso prusa ala prat kemo ala klal, that his ashkacha is spread out over the detail as much as, or just like it is over the klal, over the whole. Al hayachid kemo ala tzibur, on the individual as it is over the community at large. Like we said in the Piyutim and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Hashan v'kol ma'aminim, right? Hashave u'mashve katan v'gadol. By him, the big, the large and small are equal. No difference. The klal and prat is the same thing by him. V'ze mevi to'elet labriya. And this recognition, okay, brings this revelation, right, revealing that this his hashkacha is on everything, on the klal and prat, on the yachad and the tzibur, all equally, that brings a benefit to the creation. So that's number one. Number one is that itself brings a benefit to the creation. I mean, let's face it, Hakol Bar Lechvayde, He created everything for His kavod. So as when we are able to show and express that the hashkacha of Hashem is on everything, from the most minute detail to the biggest, that is a big, that's Etzim is saying that, you know, the Bria was for a reason, you know, where this is the reason for the Bria is Bar Lechvayde, to reveal His glory. So that's what we're doing. So that obviously is bringing a to'elos to the Bria. Va'af gamzot. But more than that, there's another thing here. Hatzar shehinenu margishim mikol davar she'anu na'im lanu. She'eino na'im lanu. The pain, the suffering that we feel from anything that is not pleasant to us, that pain, harezetz shaluach mimarom eleinu, is sent to us from above. Le'orereinu ulehodienu shebiadenu lemnoa et hatzar lazeh, to stir us, to wake us up, and to let us know that it is in our hands to prevent this pain or sorrow. Vegam shelo ligrom tzar lemala, and also not to cause tzar above. Shebishah she'adam yisrael mitzta'a shechina ma'omeret kaloni meroshi kaloni mezoroi, like the Gemara says, it's an hedra that when a person is in sorrow, is in pain, a Jewish person is in pain, so it says the Shechina calls out and says, "Oh, you know, shame to my head and to my arm." In other words, he feels the pain kibiyachol on himself. You know, like we just had in these parashiyos, Imoy Anochi Vitzara, right? Anochi Eredim Cho, Anochi Aleim Cho. He's with us all the time, including in the pain. And over there, it's talking about an individual person. It's talking about the people getting punished, you know, gets hung, whatever. That's like v'shal kein aleinu litametz b'tfila. And therefore, we are supposed to put effort and strengthen ourselves in davening and tfila limno et tzar, to prevent the tzar, to prevent the tzar of above. By the way, Nefesh HaChaim points this out also in Shar. Based on tefillah, ulemale et hashlichut shel mala, and to fill the shlichus of above, Hashem's shlichus, shemoreret otanu al yedei atzar l'salei kol michshol me'olam, that is really waking us up through the tzar to remove all michshol, all stumbling blocks from the world. Shegam michshol pfati noge laklal, because even the specific michshol, the private michshol of my own personal life, this little thing, right, that as far as the whole creation is concerned might be completely insignificant, but even that michshol prati pertains to the klal. It's related to klal. It has to do with the klal.
The purpose of the tzar is not only to try and get rid of the tzar, because then that would be a waste of time, but rather it's use that as an example and make a binyan af, that just like we can get rid of this, we could also get rid of every michshol.
Right. Through tefillah.
Through
tefillah.
But then again, it's not our objective to try and get rid of the michshol, because that's the first paragraph. The objective is just to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that potential.
The first paragraph,
but
that he has
that
potential.
We only feel
right.
The necessity to actually get out there and really feel it
when we're
a bit stuck.
Right. And the tzar that we get is basically is a shlichus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because this is a tzar that's going up there. There's something wrong, so to say. There's something that needs to be fixed. And when we feel it over here, it means that he's feeling it over there, and that is some sort of mikshol that has to be rectified. And throughout tefillah, that will happen. Now, I know sometimes we can daven for something for years. Often. We can daven something for years. And people can get, like, insulted. You know, I myself have certainly been insulted, you know, over and over. But you have to remind yourself that there's no insult, you know. The Baruch Hashem knows how to run the world, and whatever that thing is, whatever's going on, there's something here that needs a lot of tefillah. You know, sometimes you can see it right away, sometimes it takes a lot of tefillah.
But we're not saying what is tefillah poyel. According to what he's saying, so now till now, tefillah is not really poyel.
What
His
do you
emphasis
mean?
Has just been tefillah is an exercise of reminding ourselves that the hashgacha of Hashem extends into every small detail.
No, the tzar does that, and the tefillah.
In the first paragraph.
Right, the first paragraph is just the recognition. Right.
But he does end off zeh maybe to LS.
Well, we're about to get to like the next. I think the next paragraph might touch what you're trying to. You know, to close the circle, kind of a thing over here. Wait, there was something I wanted to try to. I was gonna say. Okay, if it'll come, we'll come. So that's what that's this. The point of this tzar is that it's a wake up call for us to do a specific avoida, and okay, now we have to do that avoida. He says, but oifen tefila kazeh. When you relate to davening in this way, Hinunu mekaimim ma she'amru she'lo lezarzel bedvarim she'omdim berumo shel olam. Then we are mekaim what Chazal said, not to embarrass, right? There's a better word.
Denigrate.
Okay.
Debase.
Right. We're going good here. in dvarim that are oimdim berumo shel olam, things that are, you know, stand in the heights of the world, chashuva things, which is tefillah. Haynu ladat, that is to know, shekol prat einenu prat la'atzmo bilvad, that every detail is not just a detail into itself. Elo me'advarim ha'oimdim beruma shel olam, it's from things that are oimdim beruma shel olam, shekol ha'olam mitromem u'mit'ale al yado, that everything becomes exalted and elevated through it, through that prat. Okay, so actually, let's pause here. I want to, yes, get back to what you're saying together with this sentence here. So, basically, right, I mean, this is more expanded in Nefesh HaChaim and Shaar Beis. You know, here he's being very, he's speaking on a specific point, and it's you can find much more in it in Nefesh HaChaim. In Nefesh HaChaim, we've spoken about this Nefesh HaChaim in the past. It, like, he takes tefillah completely away from the personal experience. Like, it's not about your needs. It's not about your needs. It's about being mesakin the ilamos. That's what he does. It's the ikar of tefillah is being mesakin the ilamos, is being rectifying things in their spiritual worlds, which automatically obviously impact our world as well. But it's the spiritual world that's really the ikar. And again, with that, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it as down here is it, because the spirituals then flow down into here, and this is where they find their expression. But as far as man goes, what should matter to us is the spiritual. Even down here is the spiritual, not the physical. So through your davening, you're being masaking things in all different places and all different ways, etc. Now, when a tsar is given to a person, obviously, right, when you're trying to daven for refuah, so you put much more kaychas, you get much more kavana in the bracha of refaenu, when you want parnasa, much more in baruch aleinu, and when you want new government, you know, or shoftim, hashiveinu, please get, you know, hashiv shofteinu k'vareishena, this is crazy what's going on here. So you get stirred and you put much more kavana and apply yourself much more in that inyan. And that is that, in other words, there's a tsar that's being ma'or you to be masakin this thing in a specific way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you that need, that tsar. Oh, we find, right, like Chazal say, right? Nisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tfilasan shel tzadikim. So he made the avos and the imois, he made them barren, that they couldn't have kids because he wanted their tefillas. On a more individual level, those specific tefillos for them to have kids was something that needed to be piled in the ilamas, wherever that works, wherever the addresses, the spiritual addresses for bringing down, you know, and getting over that hump and getting the kids, that's what they had to do. So so that's the way the tefillah is working. The tefillah is working where the tefillah actually is piled the tikkun. That's to answer your question. The tefillah itself is actually Paul the Tikkun. The tsar, so therefore, you have a bunch of different bakashas pratiyos, which basically include all the different bakashas that we have, and we say these all, and we daven these all, and sometimes we're stirred more to some than others. And the tsar that we feel then wakes us up to work on that specific inyan that you're davening for. And then, like in your bakashas pratis, or lakainitzar, or whatever it is, or the tchina that you add into your davening, all those things are coming from this specific tzar, and they're then being piled the specific place that Hashem wants you, you know, where your tefillah is connected to. And that's the way the story is working over here. Now, what Rav Yaakov Moshe here is pointing out is that don't. Oh, now I remember what I was going to say. Don't be mezalzel in the prat. And I actually said this in one of my shiurim in this year at some point where I spoke at the towards the beginning of COVID. And I pointed out that it's really remarkable if you think about it, that this thing obviously, right, started with one person and in no time went all around the world. And I said one of the things I was nesara to is how interconnected the world is, that the hashpa of one person has a tremendous reach. It can go around the whole world. And at that time, if you remember, I said, you know, you might do a chesed with a person, and it's a very local chesed, but somebody else pays attention that you just did a chesed with somebody, and he says, you know, that was a good idea, I'm going to do that too. And he goes ahead and does a chesed with other people, and other people notice him doing chesed, and then other people, and you'll have people across the ocean that are going to be doing chesed that you're not aware of, because you did chesed. This is happening all the time, we're not aware of what's going on. You sit down, you daven, people say like, oh, that he looks like he's enjoying that davening. Maybe I'm going to try that too. It looks like he's enjoying learning. Maybe I'm going to try it. You don't realize you're affecting people on the other side of the planet. The COVID shows that that's true. So this is the point here that Rav Kamosh is saying, is that the prat is not just a prat to itself. The detail, the specific, is not just to itself. It's also from the Dvarim Ha'omdim Berum HaShalem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought this individual problem to you. It's connected to everything going on in the cosmos. The philosophers had a big problem with this, and they said it's not proper to attribute the Hashgacha Pratis, to attribute to Hashem Hashgacha Pratis, what he's going to get involved in all this little stupidity, the little things here, like what cereal are you going to buy, you know, like what's cereal going to be available, or this cup is going to break, like, come on, you know, like. So the philosopher said it was being mezalzel in Kvod Shemayim, you know, mezalzel in God. It's not nice to attribute that to Hashem above. That completely comes from a lack of understanding in the value and the worth of the creation. If they only knew that the detail is intertwined with the klal, with the whole, they would know that there is no greater honor than to attribute to Hashem the Hashgacha on every right, divine providence, that's what they say, on every single detail. That the actions of Hashem are so great, that even the prat is a klal by him. And by the way, today, really, physics says this. Physics says, yeah, this little, you know, subatomic particle that can bang against the wall over here, actually they do say has an effect all the way across the world. And this idea that everything is interrelated, and you move little one thing part of the whole, everything is being affected. There's a lot written in the new physics books about this kind of thing. I mean, different theories of how these things work, whatever it is, but they explain a lot of things with this yisoid. But that's part of the Teres HaGeulah, which is coming in, the Teres HaMashiach, which is coming in with the Kelim, is the sciences, is the seeing, in fact, that yes, we can appreciate now that the Prat and Klal are intertwined. That is a moiridika thing to chap, that the philosophers didn't get in those days. If you have a Klal, normally, you cannot maneuver something in that Prat without messing up the Klal or changing, like, you know, you take what, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to, based on the maisim of a person, the davening of a person, he can change things around, still keeping his overall plan without messing anything up. You know, that's a phenomenal hashgacha. So, Ashrei Ha'am, says Rabbi Yaakov Meir, and last sentence, Asher Ba'or Panav Yaleichon, that go in the light of Hashem's face, Ve'heimeim Tmimei Derech, and they are Tmimei Derech Ha'olchem Aseres Hashem. That's our special schus, is to understand and appreciate the Klal and Prat. And by the way, on an individual, on a level of, you know, we've spoken about this, the Judaism is very, the Torah, I don't know what Judaism is, but the Torah is is an amazing, amazing combination of Yochid and Klal. We appreciate, and we have a lot written and a lot based on the avoida of individual and building the individual, and at the same time a tremendous amount of Torah on the importance of the klal. And by us, these two things come together because that's the way they are by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As long as you understood that there's an individual, whatever, you know, you have to have the Hashgacha Klalus and Hashgacha Pratis, and that translates into Avodah Hashem, that we have a Klal Avodah and a Yochad Avodah, and that they're intertwined. Our Avodah as a Yochad, though, has to be Yoinik from the Klal. We have that. And the more we do that, that's what the Chassidim, whatever, right? Mekubalim, the Shem Yichud, B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Anything we do, our own individual mitzvahs, we do B'Shem Kol Yisrael. We're connecting our own personal Avodah to Klal Yisrael at large. All right, any ha'aris or questions?
This concept by the Rishami of a person being an artist, so having Baruch under learning, it still applies today?
Having what? Having.
So to speak.
Most people are not. Technically, it does apply, but technically speaking, I don't think there's anybody on that level. That's able to learn Seydus HaTorah here in Eretz Yisrael and get just like, you know, almost by osmosis, get the Niglus HaTorah. Yeah, I'm sure there's no question that there can be such a thing as a Siyata D'Shmaya, you know, people like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap himself, whose his form in Nigla are mind-boggling depth and expanse of knowledge. And he clearly, he was like, you know, in the Nigla world, unbelievable. Where did he have time for all his nistar? So on somebody like him, it clearly there was some kind of crazy, you know, amazing siyata d'shmaya that was going on. Rav Kook, right, that allowed them to do this, but it wasn't necessarily here. By the way, Rav Yehoshua Leib Diskin also, he only learned Kabbalah on Shabbos. It was a seat nobody really knew. But all right. Anyway, but we have to be real with ourselves. You know, we can't fool ourselves. Today there's another problem. Even those people that learned over there, the Seydus HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael, they clearly first had to learn, you know, they had to know how to learn. They had to go through the stages of learning Nigla and building themselves in Yerushalayim, etc. It wasn't Chas V'Shalom, we shouldn't fall into the, you know, into Chas V'Shalom taking these things lightly in Kalos Das. We're talking about Chassidim Elyonim, like Rav Kook himself said. That was big Chassidim.
Rav Kook's idea was that they actually took Torah from Tefillah. It wasn't.
Yeah,
it
wasn't
just in the Torah they had.
In the Tefillah, there's also Torah. Yeah, yeah. That was another point that he added in. Yeah. Okay.
I had a question.
Yeah.
He said that when we get Tzar, we're supposed to realize that Hashem can take it away from us, and the Noah that Tzar. Are we supposed to be accepting of
Yisurim? Yeah, so on the one hand, we're supposed to be Kabul Yisurim Be'ahava, but at the same time, we daven that he should take away the Tzar. We don't want, right? Al Tivein Alid and Yisoyin V'Loy L'Devi Zoyin. We daven so many things that Hashem shouldn't test us and shouldn't. And these are tests, and these are difficult. But so he wants us to daven to take away the Tzar. Certainly for the reason that he mentioned about Koloni Miroishi, that reason. But even before that step, it wouldn't be a contradiction to daven and yet still be Makabal. As long as he's not taking it away, I'm still Makabal at Ba'ava. Yeah.
I can't help but be bothered by the...
Hold on one second.
He starts off by saying, who are we to try and intervene with Hashem's master plan?
Right.
Why am I to ask him for all these brachas and Shemona Esrei? Now, if you take on the approach of the Nefesh HaChaim, or even this approach, that no, it's not about your ingrown toenail, it's about something that it's connected to on a cosmic level. But
right.
Still, who are you to intervene in Hashem's master plan? Clearly the answer is no, because he created the world in a way that we are supposed to be involved and we are supposed to take part. So if that's the case, then let's just say he wants us to take an active involvement in somehow curing our ingrown toenail as well.
So what you say, again, you answer, I'm just saying. So you're asking again that if we're coming to the point,
if we're, yeah. is the question was based on the fact who are we to intervene with Hashem's master plan?
Right. Right. So it wasn't who we to get in. It wasn't just get in the way of his master plan, but it's like we as an individual, you know, we should be humble. We should accept Hashem, what he's doing to us. But as far as now, I mean, this is what's coming out from the piece, right? Is that as far as his grand plan goes, this is what he wants, this is the involvement that he wants of us. He's bringing us these things, basically pointing a finger. There's work here that you need to do, not for your personal self, not for your ingrown toenail, but for the world at large. So it's really shifting. That's what he's like, what he points out. Etatzmenu anu misalkim litzdadim. That's a very important, very important point for him. Is we take ourselves out of this picture. It's not my personal physical self. Achet emet. We're like we're involved here in being megala truth.
But it is a bakasha, no?
It's a bakasha. It's a bakasha because Hakadosh Baruch Hu, because that bakasha is necessary to be poil this tikkun.
In what way is a person doing that bigger tikkun? What do they do for that? Besides just asking Hashem.
So the asking itself.
That is the tikkun.
Yeah, the tefillah itself is.
So practically, what's different about the person has a recognition that I only have this sorrow, so I should ask Hashem to take it away, and that will do something greater to the world besides taking away this sorrow from me. But Lamaisa, it's he's actually just asking Hashem to take away this specific sorrow for him.
Right. So Rav, I'm not sure if people were able to get in here or not, but the Nefesh HaChaim is actually gives an answer to that. And he says that the words of the tefillah itself are poil the tikkunim. Chazal put into this, these are like packages and packets of special koiches. And when you say these words, you're connecting to the Shabbat, these oisies, every last one of them has just endless you know, secrets into it and affect things in the world at any point in time, at any place in time. And it's always going to be individualized for that thing. So that is a tremendous kayach of tefillah, which is why we said that they had to have Nevi'im that established the tefillah. At least among them, there were Nevi'im and Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, because they had to have this kayach we had last week of Nichtav al-Adoris, that the tefillah would be written in such a way where there would be new nevuas in it, new things going on in it over the course of all of it coming future history, or future course of time, we'll call it. Okay.
Really, a person's ability to pile these things is based on their level of kavana.
So it adds, the more you put into the tefillah, the more, yeah, there's the Arizal says, you know, there's five levels. There's Maisa, there's Dibur, Kavana, Machshava, and Ratzain. That's what comes out from the Arizal. At least four are explicitly stated in Ari. The Rashash extrapolates the fifth, but it's also in Ari in a different place, whatever. But
which one is the one left out?
I don't actually remember that. I think it's Kavana. Yeah. So it's really it's 3 and 2. It's that's the truth. It's not even 4 and 1. But those are different levels that relate to different levels of our spiritual composition, and the more that you put into any mitzvah and into davening, so you're getting that much more power into it, and it's going to work on that much more of a shlemistic level. Yeah.
I have more questions. I don't want to take up too much time.
Yeah.
I've just been reading Rabbi Ari Kaplan's book on Jewish meditation.
Okay.
So the Hasidim Arishonim idea very much comes into the idea of perhaps a meditative experience of tefillah,
yeah,
which took so long to get into the frame of mind and then to come back out.
Right.
And he also very interestingly says in his book, he brings as an example that when he was learning in yeshiva, I think it was in yeshiva, he had a contest with his friends about memorizing Dafim of Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
He says in the beginning it was a very tedious experience and each daf took him a very long time.
Mm.
But as he got into it, he felt that his mind opened, and as he became focused on that specific task, it became almost automatic. He said the barriers which stopped information entering his brain removed when he was in that mode, and information just flowed in and stayed in. He was able to master Daf Gemara after reading it just one or two times.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering,
yeah,
if this perhaps could be part of the Terasan Misbereches.
Right.
If they are such wonderful meditative people,
right, they get into the zone.
Right.
They get into the meditative. So it's certainly true. It's certainly true. The one of the biggest keys to understanding and retaining something that a person is learning is the concentration level. The concentration level, the meditation, you get into a very deep concentration state. I saw by Reb Shraya Devlitsky Zatzal, and it's mufursim with many gedolim, I mean, probably all, that they, when they were learning, they did not notice somebody come into the room or even necessarily say their name and speak to, like, it would really take a little bit more than that, and much more, to like jolt them out of their learning. And that's probably part and parcel with how they became so great, was because they literally just like get into a completely different dimension of existence in a certain sense when they're learning. And then that's a dveikus in the learning itself. That's a dveikus with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and yeah, a meditative state, Batson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, very good.